What an awesome God we have. He speaks in season what we need to hear. Isn't that true? You know, this world we're living in is getting really crazy. We're living in an end times world. There's no doubt about that. And God, in His faithfulness, carries His people through. He's carrying us. Speaking of His timing, this week I was going to work on something else, but God kept bringing me back to the word deception. Just kept bringing me back to the word deception. So I ended up, this morning we're going to open with part one of a series, what's going to be a series on deception. Do you realize how much deception we're seeing in our world today? Most everything you turn on is lies. CNN, they can't help themselves. I'm sorry, if you like CNN, you and I need to talk. After what happened yesterday, CNN put headlines up that said, President Trump being led off the stage by Secret Service after falling down. No, that would be the other one. So, and I mean, it's one thing after another and another and another and another. The deception we are dealing with and the propaganda that we are dealing with. Our eyes need to be opened. And I'm telling you, as sure as I'm standing here, God has led me to do this series on deception. Last time I did a series on deception, I looked back because I keep track of everything, was 12 years ago. I think maybe it's time we in this church, and not just I think, God clearly has led me to open a series this morning on deception. So, would you turn with me to Nehemiah chapter 6? Nehemiah chapter 6. And we're going to read that chapter in its entirety. Beginning to read. When word came to Sanballat, Tobiah, and Geshem, the Arab, and the rest of our enemies that I had rebuilt the wall and not a gap was left in it, though up to that time I had not set the doors in the gates, Sanballat and Geshem sent me this message. Come, let us meet together in one of the villages on the plain of Ono. But they were scheming to harm me, so I sent messengers to them with this reply. I am carrying on a great project and cannot go down. Why should the work stop while I leave it and go down to you? Four times they sent me the same message, and each time I gave them the same answer. Then the fifth time, Sanballat sent his aide to me with the same message, and in his hand was a sealed letter in which was written, It is reported among the nations, and Geshem says it's true, that you and the Jews are plotting to revolt, and therefore you are building the wall. Moreover, according to these reports, you're about to become their king and have even appointed prophets to make this proclamation about you in Jerusalem. There is a king in Judah. Now this report will get back to the king, so come, let us confer together. I sent him this reply. Nothing like what you are saying is happening. You are just making it up out of your head. They were all trying to frighten us, thinking their hands will get too weak for the work and it will not be completed. But I prayed, now strengthen my hands. One day I went to the house of Shemaiah, son of Deliah, the son of Mehetabel, who was shut in his home. He said, let us meet in the house of God, inside the temple, and let us close the temple doors, because men are coming to kill you. By night they are coming to kill you. But I said, should a man like me run away? Or should one like me go into the temple to save his life? I will not go. I realized that God had not sent him, but that he had prophesied against me because Tobiah and Sanballat had hired him. He had been hired to intimidate me so that I would commit a sin by doing this, and then they would give me a bad name to discredit me. Remember Tobiah and Sanballat, oh my God, because of what they have done. Remember also the prophetess Noadiah and the rest of the prophets who have been trying to intimidate me. So the wall was completed on the 25th of Elul in 52 days. When all our enemies heard about this, all the surrounding nations were afraid and lost their self-confidence because they realized that the work had been done with the help of our God. Also in those days, the nobles of Judah were sending many letters to Tobiah, and replies from Tobiah kept coming to them. For many in Judah were under oath to him, since he was a son-in-law to Shechaniah, son of Arah, and his son Jehohanan had married the daughter of Meshullam, son of Berechiah. Moreover, they kept reporting to me his good deeds and then telling him what I said. And Tobiah sent letters to intimidate me. That was a mouthful. Let's pray again. Lord, we thank you for your word. You have the answer to every problem we will ever face on this earth in your word. And we just thank you for your leading. Pray, Lord, that you put a watch on my mouth this morning, that I would only speak the words you have ordained, not a word more or a word less, and all to your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Under Nehemiah's leadership, the people completed the rebuilding of the walls. Now all that remained to do was the restoration of the gates and the strengthening of the community within the walls. Since Sanballat and his friends had failed miserably in their attempts to stop the people from working, they decided to concentrate their attacks on Nehemiah. If they could eliminate him or even discredit him, they could mobilize their allies living in Jerusalem and take over the city. Does any of this sound familiar to you? Because it sure does to me. Our enemy, our adversary, Satan, will never, ever give up. He is too full of pride. He still believes he can win. One thing we know about Satan, he's so full of pride that he always overplays his hand. Always has, always will. He can't help himself because he's full of pride. Yesterday, Satan overplayed his hand. You watch what happens now. You know, just like Nehemiah was fearless, you were either reading it with me just now, the whole chapter 6, or you were at least listening. And Nehemiah was fearless. Well, yesterday, Donald Trump was shot at, came so close to doing him in that it creased his ear. What was his response? Did anybody see him crying? I didn't. I saw him stand up tall, pump his fist, and say, fight. That's what I saw. And that has ignited a wave in this nation. You just wait. That has ignited a wave of hope in this nation, of the restoration that we need. Right down to Nehemiah building the walls around Jerusalem. I have been telling you guys for years that a nation without borders will not continue to be a nation. 3.5 years ago, the southern wall was almost finished. And what did the enemy do? Tore it down, opened up the borders wide open, and for 3.5 years, we have had a whole lot of criminals coming into our nation. We don't know who they are, but they've been murdering people. And I'm not saying everybody that came across the border is murderers. Don't leave here and say that pastor said that. But we do know that Venezuela, it's a fact, emptied out their prisons and sent them to the U.S. That we know, it's been confirmed. So, all these years ago, Nehemiah was dealing with deception after deception. We have been dealing with deception after deception. But see, as believers, we win. We win, we win, we win. Fight, fight. Fight on your knees in prayer. Not saying you leave here and go home and get your guns out and go hunting. Not saying that at all. We fight as we're on our knees. And I hope it doesn't come to a civil war someday, but it could. You understand that, right? And that would be fought in the physical. I hope it never comes to that. I really do. The average person doesn't realize the tremendous pressures and testings that people experience day after day in places of leadership. Leaders are often blamed for things they didn't do and criticized for things they tried to do. They are misquoted and misunderstood and rarely given the opportunity to set the record straight. If they act quickly, they are reckless. If they bide their time, they are cowardly or unconcerned. Referring to the pressures of leadership, President Harry Truman wrote in Mr. Citizen, "If you can't stand the heat, get out of the kitchen." People in places of spiritual leadership not only have the pressures that all leaders face, but they must also battle a relentless enemy who is a master deceiver and a murderer. Satan comes either as a serpent to deceive or a lion who devours, and Christian leaders must be alert and spiritually equipped to oppose him. Do you know that the majority of Christian leaders in this nation right now don't even believe in a literal devil? The majority. There is no teaching on deception in the churches that they pastor. There is no teaching on the operation of spiritual gifts because they don't believe they're for today. What I'm telling you is a large portion of the church in this nation has been rent powerless. That should rattle us. Instead of being a powerful force that Jesus came to set up the church to be, it has become a pitiful force. We're in the situation that we are in right now in this nation because people have laid down, decided that their Christianity should be kept to themselves. That became very prevalent. That whole idea became very prevalent and came from the enemy in my folks' generation. They just clammed up. They did not pass. If they did have faith, they didn't pass it on to their children, and therefore not to their grandchildren, and so forth. And guess what? Deception reigned because there was no gift of discernment in the people, because they didn't believe they needed it, because the devil is only a symbol of evil. Somebody, give me an amen if you agree. This is where we're at. But God has led me to do a series on deception, because deception is real. Our enemy, our adversary, as Jesus called him, is operating in the earth. He is. He's not God. He would like to be. He tried to be and was whipped and cast out of heaven along with a third of the angels that were goofy enough to follow him. I stated that Satan comes either as a serpent to deceive or a lion to devour. In 2 Corinthians 11, verse 3, it says this: "But I am afraid that just as Eve was deceived by the serpent's cunning, your minds may somehow be led astray from your sincere and pure devotion to Christ." Sincere and pure devotion to Christ. And that means then, if we are sincere and devoted to Christ, then that we stand on the Word of God. But what do we see? Well, we see babies being murdered for years in our nation in the name of a woman's health. It's a woman's right because it's woman's health. Well, what about the health of the baby? Deception. Deception. It comes in many forms. And guess what? Now, the ranks in the GOP are weakening on abortion because they're realizing it's hard to get voted in because such a large amount of the people in this nation now have been deceived into believing that it's okay. Even people that sit in church almost every weekend are deciding, well, it's okay, it's a woman's health. And I'm here to tell you right now, that is not so. It is still what God called it. God said, you should not murder, you shall not murder. And murder is murder. And the blood of every baby that has been aborted in this nation cries out from the ground and reaches to the heavens. And if you think our God is not just, you hang on. This nation is under judgment, but that judgment is here to compel people to turn back to God. Judgment is sent to turn people back to God. And if that don't happen, then comes wrath. And you don't want none of that. When God has broke out in his wrath throughout history, people got dead. If you don't believe me, look it up, read your Bible. Every time God's wrath broke out on his people, people got dead, and a lot of them. Every single time. So we got to be thankful for judgment, right? We got to be thankful for judgment because judgment is sent to turn the hard hearts back into hearts of flesh from being stone and turn back to God. We have got to come back to Christ and back to his word, to God's word, because that is the only way that we will be able to dispel and overcome deception. Deception is very subtle, and it comes and it just erodes away the truth. Paul says to the Corinthian church, I'm afraid that just as Eve was deceived by the serpent's cunning, your minds may somehow be led astray from your sincere faith and pure devotion to Christ. I mentioned abortion because that's been a long time problem, but we've got a lot of other problems. The LGBTQ, BQ, blah, 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 blah. I don't even know how many more are on the end of that now. And I don't care to. But it's also a lie out of a pit of hell. What God has called an abomination cannot be blessed by God. Simple and true. It's not rocket science. If I can figure it out, it's not hard. We just heard through tongue and interpretation today from the Lord. There are many things that He spoke. By the way, when that transpires, we have a couple people in the church that quick get out their pocket recorder and they record it. It's recorded word for word. I'm talking verbatim. And then we track those words, okay? That's the way it's been for a long time here. Just so you know, for those of you who are newer to the church, that's the way we function. We don't want to just blow off when God has spoken. Amen? Amen. We want to think about it, track it, you know. So many people's minds have been led astray because things sound good. Things sound good. Can I tell you something? If you let your feelings lead you around, your feelings only. I'm not saying we don't pay any attention to feelings. God gave us the feelings that we have. But never depend on your feelings alone to lead you. Never ever fall to that, because you'll fall to deception.
Amen.
There's no doubt about it. You will fall to deception. See, where the head goes, the body follows. Where our head goes, the body will follow. What we think about, if we think about it long enough, we will end up doing. It's why we're told in the Word of God to take every thought captive to make it obedient to Christ. There's a battle that goes on in our minds 24/7. We got to get a handle on it, or we're going to end up deceived with the rest of the unbelievers. First Peter 5 in verse 8 says, be self-controlled and alert. Your enemy, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Remember the lion who devours? Made that statement? There it is in the Word of God. There's things we need to understand. The devil is not our pal. As believers, he absolutely despises us. He hates us. He hates not only the believers, he hates us extra bad, but he hates every person that has ever been on the earth. Why? Because we are God's creation and we're made in His image. He hates us with a passion merely because of that. But then when we become a believer and start operating in the gifts and we're a threat to Him, then He really hates us. And that's fine with me because I don't like Him either. I got no use for Him. You know, he comes to you and he reminds you of your past to try to tear you down. How many of you got a past? I'll raise both hands. I got past, all right? Well, the enemy loves to remind you of your past, to try to tear you down, try to keep you from progressing, to try to make you believe, well, I can't ever be good enough for God. That's right, we can't. That's why Jesus had to come and pay the price. So part of that's true. But don't let it beat you down. Just do this instead. Every time the enemy comes and reminds you of your past, remind him of his future, and he'll leave you alone after a while. It is the duty of God's people to pray earnestly, not only for those in civil authority, but also for those in places of spiritual authority. If Satan can defeat a Christian leader, he can cripple a whole ministry and discredit the cause of Christ. I remember a few weeks ago, I talked about the fact that it always has been this way, and it is this way right now as well, that only 1 out of 10 leaders finish well. It's still that way today. Well, immediately, the following week, after I made that statement in my message, all of a sudden, Tony Evans is in the news. Now, I don't know how many of you know who Tony is, but Tony Evans has been an on-fire preacher for a long time. I've been to conferences where he spoke and was blessed through his ministry. And not only being blessed through videos and so forth, but literally at conferences that I've been at where he was there live and was blessed by his ministry. It's not going to finish well. Robert Morris, very, very well-known preacher. From all appearances, what he's dealing with took place 35 years ago. But it was covered up. And so after 35 years, it blows up and he resigns his post. And the enemy is laughing again. Guys, we need to be praying for our leaders. I sure hope you're praying for me. Because this world's getting nuts fast. And it's getting harder and harder to pastor in this environment and stay faithful and true to what God would have me speak. So please, I'm pleading with you. Pray for me and pray for me regularly. Because I'm not indestructible. And the attacks are real. Not just me. I'm telling you, pray for spiritual leaders. I think I'm pretty sure we're into a season right now where there are going to be more and more leaders being exposed. God's beginning to clean up his church. He's beginning to move and shake things and bring us to an awakening. Boy, we need it in the church bad in light of what I was just talking about, and I only gave a couple examples. I could have went on and on with the different things that are eroding the true church in this nation. And in the world as well, but we're talking about this nation. Again, if Satan can defeat a Christian leader, he can cripple a whole ministry and discredit the cause of Christ. Every time a well-known leader falls, those who are not in Christ, it gives them fuel for the fire. Listen, I remember doing the same thing myself before I was saved. See, it's phony. See, it's just phony. They're not real. I did the same thing. When I was in the bar playing pool and drinking way too much liquor, living wrong, And I saw two teachers come walking in that taught at the Christian school all those years ago. Sat down at the bar and bellied up and started drinking down beers. I remember what that did to me. I looked at that and I said, there it is. It's phony. It's not real. Those two guys never knew. I never said anything to them about it. They never knew the impact, the negative impact it had on me, and I wonder how many other people. But it had a serious impact on me. I had to be so broken down before I turned to Christ. Because my heart had been hardened because I had seen too much phony stuff. And the enemy is really good at using deception. In 1 Timothy 2, 1 through 3, it says, I urge you then, first of all, that requests, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made for everyone, for kings and all those in authority, that we may live peaceful and quiet lives in all godliness and holiness. This is good and pleases God, our Savior. Now again, this today is an introduction to the rest of the series that we're going to do on deception. Both Jesus and Paul had to face the reality of fear, and both overcame fear through faith. Okay? Luke 13, verses 31 through 35. This is the example of Jesus being attacked with fear. It says, at that time some Pharisees came to Jesus and said to him, leave this place and go somewhere else. Herod wants to kill you. He replied, go tell that fox. I will drive out demons and heal people today and tomorrow, and on the third day I will reach my goal. In any case, I must keep going today and tomorrow and the next day, for surely no prophet can die outside of Jerusalem. O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those who sent you, how often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. Look, your house is left to you desolate. I tell you, you will not see me again until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Herod wants to kill you. Run! Deception. The enemy is always trying to beat us off of the path that God has for our lives. God has a perfect plan for our lives, as we talked about in the message recently. He's got a perfect plan for our life. And the enemy is always working with deception and fear to compel us to step off of that path. Don't do it. Say no. You think Donald Trump might have had just a split second where he ran up and run yesterday? I mean, I don't know. He looked pretty mad to me. But I didn't see fear in his eyes. I saw anger. And what came out of his mouth was fight. Fight for what? Fight for our nation. I hope you know that's what he was talking about. Fight for our nation. So that was the example of Jesus. What about Paul in Acts 21, verse 10 through 14? Acts 21, verse 10 through 14. And it says, after we had been there a number of days, a prophet named Agabus came down from Judea. Coming over to us, he took Paul's belt, tied his own hands and feet with it, and said, the Holy Spirit says, in this way, the Jews of Jerusalem will bind the owner of this belt and will hand him over to the Gentiles. When we heard this, we and the people there pleaded with Paul not to go up to Jerusalem. Then Paul answered, "Why are you weeping and breaking my heart? I am ready not only to be bound, but also to die in Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus." When he would not be dissuaded, we gave up and said, "The Lord's will be done." A tactic didn't work on Paul either. He was like, "No, God is leading this way, and that's where I'm going." That's the kind of leaders we need, and that's the kind of people we need to be. That's the kind of people we need to be. People that God can make the plan clear, at least the next step of it, and we're willing to take that step. No matter what the cost, no matter what the potential of things that could happen. Because there is no greater thing than being in the center of the will of God. And we need to understand the enemy is always going to work through deception and fear to drive us off of that perfect path. He's always going to try to do that. He's almost wore the handle out on that tool after all these years. Nehemiah did not listen to the enemy's lies. He and the people completed the wall and hung the gates in only 52 days. Do you realize what an amazing task that was? That's amazing. Much to the embarrassment of their adversaries, they did it in 52 days. Satan used four strategies in attacking Nehemiah, strategies that he still uses against spiritual leaders today. I plan to, over the next 4 weeks, address each one of those strategies in the next four messages on deception. We'll break that down, pick it apart, so that we are truly privy to the deception that the enemy works through. Amen? Are you ready?
Yeah.
All right, let's stand together.